Listener production.
Hello and welcome to a brand new season of That's Enough Already. I know you're excited, I'm excited, and for good reason, because to kick off the brand new season, we have the exciting, the handsome, the very funny Russell Howard. And he's been up to a lot of stuff. And let me tell you, he was just commentating on the cricket. Brand new talent, you say? No, it's absolute chaos. He doesn't know what's happening in cricket, not after a few pints. He also had a lovely incident in German sauna, and he apologized for it and took his clothes off. And he'll talk about that too. Also, he will tell you, he will go hand-to-hand combat with himself if he puts a jumper on backwards. Same. Honestly, same. Not that that happens a lot to me, but it seems to be a problem for him. Have a listen.
That's quite enough. Oh, just shut your mouth. I don't give a stuff. It. Shush, please. Yes, I can hear.
Calm down,
but please. I don't care. That's enough.
How was the show in Tauranga?
It was good. It was probably the toughest, yeah, oddly.
Well, to me, Tauranga is sort of like performing to, you know, like if you see a whole country as a company, you mm-hmm. get the finance department as Tauranga. They appreciate yeah. it. They love it. They're smart, but they're not very open about their joy. A lot of fun, though, a lot of fun. So, and yeah. Hamilton is the opposite. That's the people who work in the warehouse, you know. They fucking
oh, really?
Yeah. You're going to have yeah, so yeah. much fun. You know, like if you go visit a company and you walk through the warehouse and you can see everyone's having a great time and they're stacking, they're laughing and shit, and then you get to the offices and it's just like everyone's soul is sort of dead. But Hamilton is yeah. the warehouse. They're having all the fun. I love it.
And that's where it goes down, isn't it? The warehouse is always... That's where the real comedy is. Yeah. Like it's the lunatics, it's the misfits, it's the weirdos.
Yeah.
Like my brother spent a lot of time in warehouses down the years, got sacked from every job he ever had. The best, he worked for Tesco, which is like our largest supermarket.
Yeah.
When he was, I think he was like 18, and his job was to put the bread out in yeah. the store. He had this pallet full of bread. And what he used to do is he'd get there early and he'd empty out the bread from the smallest area down the bottom, and then he would climb into the bread and then cover himself in bread and then just have a little bit of a sleep. Oh. And he maintains to this day, having a sleep amongst warm bread is the best sleep he's ever had. But
I can't compare it to anything, so maybe he's right.
But he woke up in the middle of the store, like where the bread had been sort of dragged in and customers were just picking out bread, and then they found this man.
Oh, my.
So that was a straight red card, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't know that your brother is my sister. What an yeah. intrigue. Like, she used to live in the UK and she worked at a prison. And she would help oh, yeah. with the dishes and, you know, like dishing up food and stuff. And then she got fired for having favourites. And then she would, like, give one guy an extra pork chop or whatever. And then that would start fights.
Wow.
So she got fired. She got fired from that one too.
You very rarely see that side in prison documentaries.
No.
Do you know what I mean? That there's a riot because someone got an extra chop.
Yeah.
Like, but that's the prison documentary I want to see. It's got nothing to do with drugs, nothing to do with phones being smuggled inside arses.
No.
It's just one person gets two sausages.
I mean, she used to smuggle the pork chops in her ass in, but, you know.
Okay. Okay, yeah, well, I don't know how she served it, in fairness, yeah. Maybe that's why they liked her so much.
Yeah, you know that's I mean? Why there was always a fist fight.
Yeah, quite literally, yeah.
Yeah. Last time I saw you was in London. I came because I'm touring there now, slowly starting to take over, 180-seater at a time.
Excellent.
And then we went for breakfast. And
we did,
You still had your hospital bracelet on. You had literally just walked out of the hospital, came and had breakfast with me.
Yeah, I think, I was trying to remember, and I think I just had a colonoscopy. I think that's what it was.
Mm.
So it was either a colonoscopy or it would have been no, it wasn't actually. It was, I'd had a stomach thing. I had like this, like gastro problem.
Aye.
So that's what it was. Yeah, if it had been the colonoscopy, I wouldn't have been in a fit state. It's the honesty. It's the most vulnerable you feel.
You look like you were walking pretty comfortable because I had to walk you home. I was worried for your safety.
Yeah.
You know, you were in a state where you would get into a van for some lollies, I think.
Yeah, man. I kind of needed a responsible adult in case I fell over. But,
yeah, well, you couldn't find one, so I was there.
Nah, it was just you. Yeah, yeah. How was the rest of the tour in England? Was it good?
Yeah, it was so good, man. I'm going back again. Because then that was in February last year. Then I went back again in September. I'm going now again in October because people are like...
Ace.
And also you've got the population for it.
And you've got kids. Mental. Yeah. I don't know how you do it. I don't know how you do it.
Oh, because I don't sleep a lot. I don't gym. And that really frees up a lot of time.
Yeah, no one speaks about that.
No one talks about the gym. Not going to the gym. I never have a sweaty scalp. I never have to go, I have to wash my hair because I did a lot of sweating today at the gym.
Yeah,
no.
Yeah.
My hair's good for 3-4 days.
Yeah, you just do comedy and sleep. That's it. It's fucking, you're like the comedy version of a fucking bear. Do you know what I mean? You have a summer off with the kids, you sleep with the kids,
yeah,
and then you come out, do your work,
yeah,
eat some salmon, back to bed.
Yeah. Do you know what? The only thing that shits me, right, with doing all that touring, different countries, and you're running in a show, and you're like, you know, apart from the material that you got, the thing I think that shits me the most is checking into a fucking hotel.
Yeah.
You don't think it should be complicated. We do it basically on a daily basis. Like, you don't realize how much we do hotels till you travel with someone who doesn't really, like my sister. First time I took her to a hotel, she's like, oh my God, they have white towels. If I had a hotel, I'd have brown towels. I'm like, no one would stay at the hotel. Let me tell you.
Yeah.
But then that checking in process is the thing that tests me more in my life than any other thing I know.
Yeah, yeah. But the thing is, you've got such a great voice and it's sort of, it feels like your voice was made to shout. And to, it just feels like it was, like seeing you furious must be so funny. And therein lies the problem, because as soon as you start going at people are going to go, ah, oh, brilliant, she's doing a bit.
Yeah.
Like, I remember seeing John Cleese do that once. It was one of the funniest things I've ever seen. It was in Sydney. No, it wasn't. It was in Melbourne. And John Cleese was complaining about the size of his bin in his bathroom, right, in a hotel. And I just happened to see...
What are you putting in it, John?
Mate, this is it. So he literally walks in and he's just going to this guy behind the counter. He went, look at the size of this bin. It's bloody ridiculous. What am I supposed to put in this bin? Like, what, a contact lens? It's absurd. And the guy thinks he's doing Basil Fawlty, obviously, because he's in a hotel.
Yeah.
And he's just got, this is absolutely insane. And the guy's like, nice one, mate. Hey, come on, he's doing the fucking thing. And then people gathered round. So John Cleese is trying to get a bigger bin and people are laughing at him. And I feel like that's the problem you'll have.
Yeah.
Because when you lose your temper, it's funny.
Yeah.
But you're never going to, people are just going to be like, oh, she's just doing a bit. She's happy as fuck. And yet you're steaming.
Yeah, I am, because I just feel like, but you know, this is the thing, even on my social media, I don't know if you interact with people, but I can't, like, I speak up, right? Whenever someone says a bunch of shit, I go, you're saying a bunch of shit. But now people come on my social media and they go, I'm just going to say some mean shit because I want you to roast me. People want me to roast them.
Oh, really?
And I'm like, okay. What kind of fucking person goes, you know, I've got a happy marriage, the kids are good, the car's running right, the lawn's mowed.
The car's running right, mate. Oh, fucking, God bless you. I mean, the fucking standards of life that you need.
Yeah.
The car's running right.
You know, that's the one thing. If your car won't start, then you realise how much joy that car just fucking starting brings you, right?
I love women like you, man. God bless you. That's all you want in life. It's a bare minimum.
It doesn't take a lot to make a person happy if you focus on the little things.
But so you're saying that people come to you specifically, their lives are happy, but what they need is just a little bit of aggro from you.
Yeah.
Yeah, mate. Yeah. Like that roast comedy, it's never really done it for me because I just feel that sense of, I love it when someone destroys themselves.
Yeah. I've done a couple of debates in Melbourne. And I tell them up front, I tell my teammates, I go, I will not be roasting the other team. And I always go up and I'm really polite to the other team. Like, and I go, you know, you're amazing comedy. I think the worst I ever did was I think it may have been Sarah Pascoe or someone, you know, vegan comic. And I'm like, you know, you're a vegan, you care about the environment and you care about, you know, and you're a vegan. which worries me, you know, because vegans die much younger than the rest of us because they want to. They're bored out of their fucking heads. But that's as mean as I ever got. And then afterwards, yeah. I apologized. I'm like, I'm so sorry. I'm such a soft cock when it comes to it. Listen, you did some cricket commentary.
Yes, mate. Yeah.
Huge cricket fan, are you? Lots of knowledge?
Yeah. Well, what happened is I was on a bank watching cricket in Tauranga, lying back like a walrus in the sun. I had three ciders with the excellent comedian Nick Rado. He paid for all of them. Absolute result.
Yeah.
Because I did the old, oh, I forgot my cash card. Oh. Winner, winner.
Yeah.
And then basically this guy who was the commentator was just walking past. I went, oh, Russell Howard, how you doing? Do you want to come up and do some commentary? And I said, yeah, if you want. I mean, I don't really know anything about cricket. He's like, you'll be all right. So we kind of go up to the commentary, and it's on like TVN's, like it's like the number one BBC main, one over here.
The main TV channel,
So he's, and I'm, you know, I've had three beers in the sun, and he says to me, he goes, so have you been to Tauranga before? And I said, well, yeah, last time I was here, I was walking along and a pickup truck pulled up. And a guy said, you're my wife's weird crush. And then he narrowed his eyes and went, what do you reckon? And I've never had that happen to me. I've never had a bloke offer his wife to me in a place. And now a bloke has offered me the chance to commentate. This country is ridiculous.
Yeah.
At that exact moment I'm telling that story, I'm interrupted because they got a wicket. And then I said, that's why I feel sorry for cricket players, because clearly this guy's a genius. He's got a wicket. This is a pivotal moment in his career, and some random bloke from England is chatting about the time that a bloke from Tauranga wanted his wife to get nailed like that. And then, so that all goes on air, and all the crew are doing this with the hands, and I'm trying to look at them as if to go, hey, you invited me. It's three beers. Come on. And so I walked away. And when you're doing so many different types of media, you just never know what's allowed. I don't know if you find that. You know, when you're traveling, you're like, I don't know the lay of the land. I don't know what's allowed. They look at you like you're mad.
Yeah.
And then that's why comedy is such a great, because at least in a comedy club, in a theatre, in an arena, you're in charge.
Yeah.
They come to you. You do the show, fine. You know?
Yeah. I love that. I love the, because people always say it must be lonely, you know, because we're traveling by ourselves. Like, you've got your tour manager, but that's different, you know. And like, so you're by yourself, you know, town to town, city to city, and it's not always exciting places that we go to, or places where you go, you've been there 30 times. Like, you can only go to Perth so many times, and I love Perth, and the beaches are great, but then eventually you go, I've seen it. I've done it. Mm. I've been here every single season. Now what do I do? So I started playing golf, you know, because what else? Because I don't drink. So I can't even rely on a hangover till noon, you know. I kind of I wake up at 7. Now I've got a whole day in the hotel room. So I'm like, no.
Exactly. Are you decent? I bet you can
I'm pretty good, actually. Yeah.
You know what?
Like, even now, 2 weeks ago I played golf just here at a community club. And, you know, Des Bishop?
Yeah, I know. Des, yeah.
There's nothing that makes his dick retract back into his body quite like me out driving him every fucking hole. He left at the 7th hole, and I'm like, it's because I kept out driving him and he didn't like that.
How naive to think you're not going to be outdone by a powerful lesbian in terms of getting to the hole quicker.
I mean, honestly, like, just whisper around that hole and the ball goes, I'll get in there. It opens wider for me.
yeah, exactly. Bang.
No, exactly. I was like, oh, fuck, it is crazy. I can't even remember where I was going with the golf thing, but
relaxing, being in Perth, different places.
You're a walker, eh?
I like walking. It's a nice way of having a wander and your brain going, oh, there might be a bit that might be funny for tonight's gig and nothing else, you know?
Yeah.
And I love that.
I love making
gigs kind of personal. I was in Dunedin and I looked at the front page of the Otago Daily News and there was an interview with a lady who was competing in the speed jigsaw championship in Dunedin.
Yeah.
So you know, like, when am I ever going to have an opportunity to talk about Speed Jigsaw?
When I'm on stage, I try and put something new in for my tour manager and something new in for the sound guy because they listen then. So when I come off, my tour manager goes, when you said that thing about the goldfish gaping anus Mardi Gras thing, and I'm like, oh, yeah, I said that, you know.
I mean, but let's pause and stop there. So what is the goldfish gaping Mardi Gras thing?
Okay, so this is an actual thing that I did, and I didn't even know that I said this. You know, when you sort of listen to something back or someone recorded and you watch and you go, I know I said it. Like, I can see my mouth move and I hear it's my voice. But in that moment, I was so in the moment with them that I can't remember that I said it. So I'm busy editing my special, and I talk about this. My mom got stuck with me during lockdown for 4 months.
Right. Excellent.
But with her cat, because she travels everywhere with her ginger cat. Like, he's a Labrador, but he's not a Labrador, so he hates it. But then I had to go with her to the vet to get, you know, which I thought we're getting the cat euthanized because he's so old, but it wasn't. Spoiler alert, they just drained his anal gland.
Yes.
So when I got back home, but I'd already said to the kids when we left, I gave them a little pep talk, just the two of them in the room. I said, listen, make sure you say goodbye to Oscar because, you know, he's going to go to the farm, you know. So because I thought they're never going to see him again, and I didn't want to upset them when we came back with no cat. Yeah. And then when we got back, my daughter was like, oh, my God, it's a Christmas miracle. She was so happy. She's like, Oscar's back. And then she says, Mama, I'm going to be a vet one day. And I said, no, you're not. You get grossed out when the goldfish has that bit of poop floating behind it. I said, I shudder to think what a vet would do to a goldfish. I'm like, but also goldfish, can we just fucking snap it off already? And like, how hard is it to just snap it the fuck off? Like, sometimes that poo is longer than the goldfish. Like, how loose are their anuses? Like, this is like the week after Mardi Gras loose anus that we're talking about here. And when I'm watching it, I'm like, what the fuck did I say that?
Yep. I think that's wonderful because the whole thing with goldfish having a 5-second memory.
Yeah.
So presumably their turds are so long, they must go, oh, God, I've shit myself. Oh, God, I've shit myself. Like, and it's still coming out, you know. But it is, and given that they move around a lot, you're right, it's kind of, it's probably the most extravagant shit given the size of the animal of any creature in the world, I'd say.
But honestly, I think it's like a showing off kind of thing. I think they do it on purpose. You don't drink that amount of water and struggle to pinch off a shit. You just don't.
Yeah, well, maybe that's what Nemo did. That's why they couldn't find him, because he just went off just trying to bury one, just trying to figure out if he could figure out the mysteries as to how you get rid of your shit.
Imagine if it worked the other way, like fish buried their shit.
Mm-hmm.
And cats would just walk around with this massive turd.
Yeah, yeah.
Not one person in the world would have a cat.
There's a brilliant comedian in the UK called Seymour Mace that used to have an amazing routine about how confused dogs must be the first time their owner picks up their shit.
Yeah.
And it's just this brilliant image of like the dog going, what the fuck are you doing, Barbara? I just love it. You know, I love jokes like that when they're so forever funny, and you just like some childish mind has sort of seen the connection between it.
Yeah.
You know? What would you recommend that I do in Australia, Sheila? Like, I'm in Sydney for a week, which I'm really looking forward to. What would be the go-to thing to do in Sydney?
Well, I always try and go on a boat trip anywhere.
Yep.
Anywhere is nice.
Yep.
You know, and then I always play a bit of golf.
Oh, I love that. Yeah.
Yeah. Food. So much food.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, we went to a place called Chin Chin last year.
Yeah.
Where you talk about things that shit you.
Really?
The things that unshit me are the food in this part of the world.
So
the breakfasts in Australia and New Zealand, the only place they're crap are hotels.
Yeah.
It's absolute swill.
Yeah.
But then that's the same the world over.
Yeah.
And then you go outside, there's this shitty little cafe and the chefs have got angel hands. The things they can do to avocados is absolutely bananas.
Yeah.
What are the South Africans' breakfasts like?
Oh,
How are you regarded?
I think South African food in general is really good.
Yeah, yeah.
Really good. I think our coffee is really shit.
Oh, really?
But the food is amazing and it's quite meat heavy. So if you're a vegetarian, they'll give you chicken or lamb.
You're going to struggle.
You know? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Like, oh, we'll do a chicken. It's all right. If you eat chicken twice a week, it's like, what are we fucking vegetarian now? You know, so.
Do you know, there used to be a chip shop in Edinburgh. And we used to go there during the festival. Hmm. And how about this? They had a fucking ladies menu in the chip shop. Like, and one of the things was a ham salad. It's just like, it was a ham salad and a lasagna. So funny. Like, ladies menu in a chippy, man.
You well, just I have to say, a lot of places in South Africa, when you go, you've got the men's portion and the ladies' portion. Not the, the big or the small. Yeah, yeah. So when you go to a fancy restaurant, you order a steak, they go, would you like the men's or the ladies' portion?
Wow.
Yeah. How and then you feel like such a bull dyke when you go, I'll have the man's steak.
Yeah, exactly. But really, I'll have the trucker. I'll have it trucker. I'll have it rare.
Yeah, yeah. And they deliver it with some boots on. Great. I quickly want to show you something.
Yeah.
I was saying that you did an interview with Jeremy Corbyn in the basement at TVNZ.
Mm-hmm.
Look at this. It looks, that's you being interviewed. Yeah. Who's there over your shoulder?
Hey, yeah, I saw. That's so funny. Like, they've got you in a basement.
Yeah.
Mate, it's so funny because I literally said, I said, why is Ursula in a basement, man? But it's this incredible... like room, it's full of like loads of things that have been on various kind of Kiwi shows down the years.
Yeah.
So it's kind of incredible that you're there. It's like a museum of Kiwi comedy.
Yeah.
And you were kind of behind me, almost like a sort of a parrot to my pirate, just on my shoulder.
Yeah.
Just it was like you were just helping me out. You were my spirit animal. Fuck, yeah. Leave him alone. Thank you.
Do you know why I'm in the basement? Because
that's your preference?
I've had, that too, but I've had emails from security. I've been stolen 3 times.
Wow.
My cardboard cutout. There was a guy who walked in at TVNZ, and the security is quite intense.
Yeah.
And he picked up my cardboard cutout as he left, and he just left with me under his arm.
Wow.
But they found him and they got my cutout back. And then there was another, there were two women who stole me. I'm like, no, if they're hot, let them keep it. Let them keep it.
Yeah.
You know, like who am I to crush a dream? You know?
No, exactly. Yeah, it's almost worth, that feels like a documentary, doesn't it? Yeah. And then sort of following
the secret
where
life.
That cutout goes. Yeah, yeah, yeah. The secret life of Ursula's cutout.
Yeah.
That is funny though. Yeah, yeah, there's definitely stand-up in that, isn't it? Like also it goes to show that there aren't that many terrible things happening in New Zealand that they've got time to track down a cupboard.
And the fact that I should actually find that email and print it out or just post it on Instagram. It's so funny. This guy just walking out, and it's just exactly what you imagine security footage, this grainy footage of a guy with short dark hair walking with me under, but you can see it's me and I'm just smiling at me as I'm leaving the building.
Yeah, yeah.
It's kind of, it's like me. I'm betraying myself. I'm like, where are you going?
Yeah.
Why are you with a strange man? That was crazy.
Yeah.
Hey, let me ask you something. What is the thing? Because it's been years now. It's literally been, like you say, 300 years ago when COVID started. I think you were my very first ever guest on this podcast.
Oh, amazing.
Nice feedback. This is the last one I'm cancelling. No. So what is... the thing that shits you, now that you know what that means, that shits you to death about other people.
Oh, about other people. Oh, other God. People. Probably like hocking when someone goes, you know, and like it makes me want to punch them in the face.
Mm.
Like it's such a visceral like anger when it's the only time. I remember someone spat at me in a football game when I was 15, and it's the only time that I've like properly clocked someone.
Wow.
So anything like that. But what shits me about myself, and I get so angry, like insanely angry, is when I put, and it's proper like first world, but it's top anger, when I put a jumper on the wrong way.
Yeah.
And you know, when you just put it on and it's just the label is there, and I literally will scream at myself and call myself a thick motherfucker, a stupid C, just everything.
That seems intense.
And I'll sometimes I would just let, if I've got a hoodie, I'll just let it hang there in anger at myself. I don't know why, but it really fucks me off where you're like, oh, brilliant, fucking brilliant. This is what you do, is that you put a jumper on the wrong fucking way. And my wife will be like, okay, mate, what's this actually about?
Yeah.
But yeah.
Doesn't that piss you off though? I hate it when you're just having a day and you just want to swear at yourself and then your partner's like, okay, what's actually going on? You go, can you fucking not? And now you're having that argument. And you're like, you know, I was happy having an argument with myself, but you don't want me to have all the fun by myself. Now you want to get involved. Now we're having an argument.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Sure. The other thing is people talking in saunas. I joined a gym.
Yeah.
And like the thing about going in a sauna, you want to get in there, get hot. But for whatever reason, there's always old men in the sauna talking about what's wrong with the country. And it's fucking brilliant. You know, there's like 10 people in the sauna and some old bloke going, of course, I remember when I was young, the world was so much. And you're just like, oh, fuck me sideways. But you all sit in silence.
Yeah.
And, you know, get angry. So those are the three things. People that hock. Myself, when I put the jumper on the wrong way, and chatty old men in saunas. I once had an incident in a German sauna, actually. It was great. The Germans, turns out, don't wear costumes when they go in the sauna.
No, not at all. They think they take offense if you
were yours. Well, exactly.
Yeah.
So I was just sat in there minding my own business, and let's not muck around. I look like a German little boy.
Yeah.
So I was in there with my trunks on, and this gaggle of naked ladies came in, one of them first, and she was completely starkers. And I genuinely was like, oh God, I thought it was like someone's nan who was having a breakdown. So I kind of felt a bit like, oh God, poor love, she doesn't realize. And then six of them came in and they started speaking to me in German because obviously I look German.
Yeah.
And they're like telling me to take my trunks off.
Yeah.
And I put on a German accent and I just went, as I was pulling my trunks off, I just went, sorry. Like, I was trying to, I was like, entschuldigen, nah, like that. And it's fucking, it was the, I've never got naked apologizing to six women before.
Isn't that funny how these women came in, six elderly women telling you to take your pants off in a dark room and you did it.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
That's like my neighbour just over the fence. So not to flex, but I've got my own sauna here and eyes closed, right? So then at night I'm in the sauna and then I get out after a few minutes and I'm in the ice bath and back in the sauna. I'm in my costume. I'm in my swimmers, right? But the guy has now noticed what's happening here. Every night I'm doing that. And he can see me from his house because his house is higher up than mine. So he's looking down into, and I'm here on the porch of my office, which is a separate building. And he watches. So now he started standing butt naked, dick semi-hard in his window every night as I'm out of the sauna into the ice bath and just looking at me as he's slowly stroking his dick, right?
Oh, so my God.
My partner and I started calling him Pit Pilikis, which means pit, which is a man's name, and Pilikis, which means small dick, but he's actually well hung. But anyway, but he just makes a lot of eye contact. He's got no hair, whatever. Then come Christmas, we had a street party. So we're all at the street party. And I go up to him. Now he's talking to these two other women and I go, hello. And I know he knows because he looks at me every night. We make eye contact.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's not completely dark. And I've done this to him, like, you know, now just, I look at him while he's looking at me. Anyway, so then I go, why don't you show me dick now? And he goes, excuse me? I go, take it out and show me your dick. And the woman immediately tense up and I'm like, come on, show me your dick. What? I'm too close to you. What? Whip it out. Let's see your dick. And he goes, excuse me. He turns around and walks away. And the woman walks away. My partner goes, you realize you sound like a fucking sex pest now because they don't know that this guy shows his dick to you every fucking night. And now you've just gone up to a guy at the Christmas party, street Christmas party, and gone, show me your dick.
Yeah.
Show me your dick.
The thing is, I've seen people getting cold plunges. Okay. It's not arousing. It's like,
it's basically a bikini.
Yeah, but I bet you you're getting in and going,
and I'm bright red. I'm just out of the sauna now. I'm blue.
Fucking right. Yeah, exactly. But like, I remember seeing my tour manager Kumar jumped into a cold plunge that he thought was a jacuzzi, and it's one of the greatest moments of my life because the noise he made, he just went ooh, and he was so like lost and tender, but the very idea that I would find that arousing, it's fucking funny watching someone get cold. It's funny. It's not like like, oh, yeah, that'll do.
That, like, looks, that so looks painful.
Yeah, man.
And the ice clinking and that. Yeah, it's weird. It's really weird. Yeah. But anyway, so well, I'm sixth best now. There you go.
Well, no, not really. Not really. No. He started it. You're just,
and he knows.
You're just trying to,
he knows.
You're trying to outpace the sex pest. Yeah, totally.
But the thing that hurts me the most about that whole thing, the whole scenario, I don't even care about him taking his dick out. I haven't even phoned the cops or anything. I don't give a shit. But when that whole exchange happened, I made a potato salad in my favorite mixing bowl and I put it on the table. And when that whole thing happened, we just came home. And no one's given my bowl back.
Right.
And I don't know who to ask. And no one's making eye contact with me in the street.
Yes. Wow. I mean.
That is the worst.
Yes. There's so much going on with that story, Ashura.
Mm. Yeah. Hey, Ross, thank you so much.
Mate, absolute pleasure. Thank you so much for having me.
And that wraps up today's episode. If you want more Russell, well, you can listen to him on his own podcast, Wonderbox. And you can find that every Wednesday, wherever you get your podcast from. But if you want more episodes like this, well, I have plenty. Like my previous chat with UK legend Rob Beckett, who likes to complain about Santa, but only in the summertime. Niche. Just search That's Enough Already with Rob Beckett, wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks for listening to this episode of That's Enough Already, hosted by me, Ursula Carlson, and produced by Natalie Turner. Supervising producer was Nick McClure, and special thanks to Ella Leaf and Beck Sutherland. Couldn't do it without you, gals. If you like this podcast, remember to subscribe, share it with all of your friends, tell your mum, tell your sister, don't tell that annoying brother of yours, you know, but definitely share it with a friend.